It's been a big week for immigration news, and it's only Tuesday. The Trump administration has announced the dramatic change to U.S. asylum policy, essentially ending asylum protections for the vast majority of people arriving at our southern border. Effective today, migrants who cross through another country before reaching the U.S. cannot request asylum here. President Trump has implemented, or at least tried to implement, a number of drastic changes to the U.S. immigration system, but this is one of the most severe and wide-ranging yet. And this does not just affect Central American migrants. Thousands of people from South America, Cuba, Haiti, and Africa have made the arduous journey through Mexico to the United States border. So thousands upon thousands of people will be affected by this change. And it's expected to be challenged in court, of course, but the move does come on the heels of an attempt by the Trump administration to make a deal with the government of Guatemala to reach a safe third country agreement. Guatemala's highest court prevented President Jimmy Morales from signing the agreement. Here to help us make sense of it all, I'm joined by Jonathan Blitzer, staff writer at The New Yorker, and Philip Schrag, co-director of the Asylum Law Clinic at Georgetown Law and the author of Asylum Denied. Thanks to you both for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Philip, let's start with you. Give us some of the specifics here. The rule is trying to say, and no one is coming through any other country can come to the United States. How are people supposed to arrive? What is this law meant to do?
This is a very cynical attempt by the administration to pretend that we are sharing the burden with other countries, making people apply in other countries en route to the United States and wait to be denied before they try to come to the United States. But what we're really talking about is Guatemala, which is transited by Hondurans and Salvadorans, and Mexico, which is transited by those people and by Guatemalans. But neither of those countries has a functioning asylum system, in fact. So Guatemala has about 12 people working in its asylum office, only three of whom interview refugees. Mexico has a backlog of 50,000 asylum cases. And the United States has about 50,000 Salvadorans and Hondurans applying for asylum each year. So either we dump all those people into a non-functioning system in some other country, or, as the administration really hopes, they don't come at all.
And again, as we've said many times on the show, deterrence is really the goal here. Jonathan, who does this leave? Who can come to the U.S. to seek asylum if this new rule is in place?
Frankly, it's hard to imagine anyone. Just the basic mechanics of what seeking asylum at the U.S. southern border would mean would involve transiting through a third country, and the very premise of this regulatory change would be that anyone who did that wouldn't be able to apply. And there are kind of technical sort of carve outs for, you know, certain circumstances under which someone could presumably try to apply for asylum in the U.S. But those, as Philip says, this is an extremely cynical proposition, and those particular carve outs do not seem at all serious.
Philip, the U.S. has a legal obligation to provide asylum to those fleeing their home country. Is this latest announcement in terms of international law even legal?
Well, there's both international law and domestic law consequences here. The most clear-cut legal situation is the domestic one. I think this is a patently illegal move by the administration under U.S. law, and that is because the American immigration law says that anybody who comes to the United States and is either at its border or in the country can apply for asylum. And Congress explicitly amended that law in 1996 to consider what happens when people come through other countries, through third countries. And they said that, yes, the United States can refuse asylum to those people under two conditions. One is if the country through which they came has a fair and full procedure for adjudicating asylum cases, which Mexico and Guatemala do not. And second, that we have an agreement, a safe third country agreement in effect with the transiting country. Well, the only country we have such an agreement with is Canada. And as you pointed out, Tanzina, the Guatemalan government has been enjoined from signing such an agreement with the United States by the Guatemalan Constitutional Court. So this is an end run by the administration around those very specific congressional mandates. The justification that the administration has given is that there is a provision of the law that says that the Attorney General can impose additional limitations on asylum consistent with the existing law. But these restrictions are not consistent with the existing law because Congress has dealt with this situation and has required a safe third country agreement before people can be turned away.
And we're going to get into a lot of the specifics about Mexico and Guatemala's role in this. But before that, Jonathan, I want to get a sense of what does this fit or how does this fit into the pattern of the Trump administration's actions on immigration and asylum so far?
I mean, the administration has been single-minded about trying to dismantle the U.S. asylum system. There are all sorts of things that the U.S. government could do at the southern border to help deal with this complex logistical problem of handling all of these asylum seekers at the southern border. A lot of the more sort of technical necessary fixes are being cast aside, and instead you're getting kind of a wholesale overhaul of the system. So the administration is obsessed by and large with two things. One is the idea of deterring asylum seekers from even making the trip in the first place. And so often these grand gestures, which don't pass any legal muster, are meant to send that kind of message. And at this point, it's well known that that kind of deterrent message never comes through in any meaningful way. People who are seeking asylum are desperately fleeing their home countries, and they're not making these kinds of calculations that are calibrated on messages sent by Washington in this precise way. The other thing the administration is obsessed with is the idea of trying to, quote unquote, close loopholes at the border. And it's true that there are complexities in the administration of asylum law in the U.S. at the southern border. But what the administration is trying to do is prevent people who are seeking asylum from being granted that initial sort of preliminary screening, and then from there being allowed to wait in the U.S. while their asylum claims are adjudicated. So what you're seeing is the administration kind of constantly trying to wage this war on two fronts. One, to just completely send this message of, you know, we are not a place of refuge. And the other, to try to create all of these barriers to block people from even entering the country, because asylum seekers, in the views of the administration, are not legitimate immigrants and don't have a legitimate claim to be here.
I'm talking with Jonathan Blitzer of The New Yorker and Philip Schrag of the Asylum Law Clinic at Georgetown Law about newly implemented asylum laws here in the United States. Jonathan, let's talk a little bit about, and Philip, we're going to get into now the specifics about the role that Mexico is playing and even Guatemala. Jonathan, Mexico's remain in the so-called remain in Mexico policy and U.S.'s talks with Mexico on immigration for months. Where does that stand? I mean, some people have even suggested that Mexico is part of the wall, if you will.
Yeah, I don't think it's wrong to formulate the situation that way. The challenge with Mexico has been that from day one, the Trump administration has wanted to strong arm the Mexican government into agreeing to some sort of safe third country deal. And two Mexican administrations, the previous one and the current one, have both pointedly refused to take up that prospect. What we started to see last month, however, was that under continued pressure from Trump and under the threat of tariffs on all Mexican goods, the Mexican government was willing to concede a little and at least allow the possibility that talks around remain in Mexico, a safe third country agreement are on the table, which is a significant shift. And it is at odds with what the Mexican government is saying publicly. A similar thing took shape with the remain in Mexico or the migration protection protocols, as they're also known. Same situation in the days and weeks leading up to the announcement of the remain in Mexico policy. This is at the end of last year, December, January. The Mexican government didn't seem to suggest it was willing to agree to any such arrangement with the U.S. And then suddenly it was announced, and the Mexican government seemed to just go along with it. And now we have more than 15,000 people being sent back to northern Mexico as part of Remain in Mexico. So what you see is, you know, assertions by these regional governments that they're not going to take up these propositions put forward by the U.S., and then you start to see some backsliding. And that's a very worrisome dynamic. So what happened last month was the Trump administration said to the Mexican government, you've got 45 days to significantly improve your enforcement in Mexico in terms of turning away Central American migrants so they don't reach the U.S. border. And if we're not happy with what you've done, we're going to take back up these safe third country talks. So the Mexican government scrambles to show that it's getting tough on immigration enforcement. This has happened before. This happened in 2014 to some degree, albeit in a much more kind of carefully orchestrated and calibrated way with the Obama administration. But it's a common dynamic for the U.S. government to say to Mexico, okay, look, we need you to up enforcement because too many people are showing up at our southern border. The Mexican government has done that. It seemed to, in the last month, may have made an actual impact on the number of people who are showing up at the U.S. border. But it's hard to imagine that the Trump administration at the end of this period is going to stop there and say, okay, we're satisfied. They're going to keep pressing. And we're actually right now just coming up on the end of that 45-day period. So it very much remains to be seen what the Mexican government is willing to agree to.
So Jonathan, let's talk a little bit about Guatemala here. Like, what incentive does the Guatemalan government or Guatemala have to agree with the United States in this sort of safe third country agreement?
No, it's a good question, and everyone is scratching their heads about this. There is no real incentive for the Guatemalan government to agree to such a sweeping plan as a safe third country agreement, or, as we've now learned, a proposal that would even go farther than a safe third country agreement. The kind of bottom line, as I understand it, is you have an outgoing president in Jimmy Morales who's trying his very best to ingratiate himself with the U.S. government. It's not even clear exactly kind of what quid pro quo he has in mind here, but he's very much thinking self-interestedly. And then I also think an important part of this is Morales, and for that matter, other leaders in the region, do not fully understand the kind of intricacies of what some of these agreements consist of. And so I think a big element of all of this is quite frankly, confusion and misunderstanding about what it is exactly they're agreeing to. So I think it's easier also for the U.S. government to pressure these other regional partners into making concessions when these regional partners themselves are kind of spun around by the details and the intricacies and the particularities of what these arrangements would look like.
Jonathan Blitzer is a staff writer at The New Yorker, and Philip Schrag is professor and co-director of the Asylum Law Clinic at Georgetown Law and author of Asylum Denied. Thanks to you both.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.